So I appreciated Lisa talking about how that summer is marked by trips. A lot of people are on trips this weekend. And summertime is a time when many of us plan road trips. I actually grew up going on road trips, and this is a pretty good representation of what those road trips look like for my family. That's not a picture from my family history, but we had in this picture a trailer just almost exactly like that, an Apache pop-up tent trailer. What's missing in this picture is four kids and two dogs and a wood-paneled town and country station wagon. Did anybody else grow up with one of those? Okay, a couple people, okay. So, and you might recall what those station wagons were like. It had the way back. Anybody know about the way back? That's where the dogs went, was in the way back, and at least one of the teenagers went back there. So we would, when I was growing up, we would plan these 2 or 3 week long road trips, especially if we were going to see family on the East Coast. And we'd go up through Washington, D.C., and on up to New Jersey, and all the way to Maine a couple of times. Takes 3 weeks to do that. Or we might go out west to New Mexico and Colorado and Arizona. And 1 year, we went all the way north to Wisconsin and Minnesota. And when you're going to take a big trip like that, there's a lot of preparation for that, right? There's a lot of washing of clothes and packing and figuring out what you're going to take in the car with you. This was in the days when we would take books and we would take coloring books and we would take games. And it was in the days, now hear this, y'all, this was in the days before DVD players. We had none of that. Can you imagine that? Imagine that. So we were having to take lots of stuff to entertain each other. We did a lot of looking out the window kind of car games. There was also sort of the emotional and psychological preparation for that. There was the who's going to take care of the vegetable garden while we're gone and stopping the mail and stopping the newspaper, who's going to watch the house. There was all of the negotiation among the four of us of who got the prime seat in the middle because that's where the air conditioning came and who was going to have to be in the back with the dogs. And there was all of the emotional and psychological preparation for my parents who were going to have to be in the car with four children and two dogs all day long, and particularly for my mom, because here's a secret. My mom really didn't like camping, but that's what we did as a family. And so I think every summer she was sort of having to gird herself up and get herself emotionally ready for this, because I think in her mind every summer she was thinking, what are we getting ourselves into? I think that's what was in the disciples' brains at this point. What are we about to get into? At this point in the story, the disciples and Jesus have been together for 40 days after the resurrection, and he's been with them all the time, and he's been teaching them about the kingdom of God. And then he says to them, near the end of the time that he has with them, he says, you're to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's at this point that the disciples, I think, say, oh, finally, it's going to happen. He's going to restore Israel. And here's what they're looking for at this point. And it's what they've been looking for all the time. They still don't get it. They're looking for their oppressors, their occupiers are going to be run out of town, and Israel is going to become an important state in world affairs, and they're going to experience once again the Davidic glory they experienced under David and Saul. And Jesus, I think he sort of shakes his head and rolls his eyes and says, no, this is not the direction this trip is going. And you're not to be standing around wondering with one another about the time and place. It's not for you to know. But what you are going to receive is power through the Holy Spirit. Not a power for glory or honor or privilege or achievement, but rather the power to be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. What Jesus is giving here is the roadmap for their journey. It's a roadmap that will unfold in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And we'll see in this book that it begins in the heart of Judea, in Jerusalem, and then it begins to splay out. Not strategically or in an orderly way, but as each of the apostles is listening to and following the lead of the Holy Spirit. This summer, we're going to go on that road trip with the apostles. We're going to go through the book of the Acts of the Apostles and see what it looks like as they are witnesses following the roadmap that Jesus gives them. And what we're going to see is that for some of them, witnessing is preaching. But for others, not so much. Witnessing is listening, it's teaching, it's serving, it's supporting, it's encouraging, it's resourcing. For some of them, witnessing takes place as they cross land and sea to go to far off and foreign places. And for others, witnessing takes place in their own backyard to their friends and their family and their neighbors. And as we follow along on this road trip, we're going to be aware that so many of us are going to be on all kinds of road trips this summer. It's what we do in the summer. And for some of us, we're going to go to far off foreign places. And some of us are going to go to Florida. And some of us are going to go to South Texas. And some of us are going to go to Washington, D.C. And some of us are going to go just up the street. And some of us are going to be here in our neighborhood. For all of us, the road trip that we'll be on this summer is a road trip that is inward and spiritual as well, because as we're on those road trips, we're going to be listening for where the Holy Spirit might be leading us and to whom we might witness. The disciples have heard that they're about to go on this road trip. They don't really know where it's going to lead them. They know two things for sure. They're supposed to wait upon the Holy Spirit, and they are to be witnesses. Now, how do you prepare for a trip like that? What do you pack? What do you tell people you're going to do? Well, here's how the disciples prepare. They press the pause button. The Holy Spirit could have been sent immediately after Jesus' ascension, but God waits. And by extension, the disciples wait too. Perhaps so that they can come to the realization in the waiting that what they are about to do will not happen because of their power or their abilities or their programs or their plans, but as they wait for God to initiate. And so they press the pause button and they wait. Do you notice their waiting is not passive? They're not just sitting there contemplating the past and the future. Their waiting is very active as they are all together in prayer. And I love how Luke, who was probably the writer of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, I love how he names everybody who's there, all 11 of them, plus some women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. I think that's very interesting that she's there in this moment. Because remember, Mary is there at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. And do you remember? She hears from the angel Gabriel what's going to happen, that she is going to get pregnant. In response to that, give birth to the Christ. And her response to that is, how can this happen? And do you remember what the angel Gabriel promises her? It's almost exactly what's promised here to the disciples. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. I think Mary is here in this moment, right before the birth of something new again, to tell her story to the disciples and tell them what her response was at that moment, which was, do you remember? Let it be with me according to your word. An openness, an availability to the movement of God beginning of something new. I was talking to somebody today in between services, and they were telling me how busy their life is right now. If you're part of the academic year at all, you know that May is just this crunch time. And if you've got somebody graduating from high school, I mean, it's like crunch time, 10,000 more. And this is a family that they got somebody graduating this year. But they were saying to me that this weekend has been sort of a breathing space for them. And I said, you know, you're really pressing the pause button here, pausing before the new. And I think there's opportunity for us here in this weekend to sort of take a breath and wait, knowing that as we move into the summer, there's all kind of possibility. We may have plans. We may have put plans in place for what we think is going to happen this summer. And we've done that here. We've got plans for this summer. We've got Vacation Bible Camp in 2 weeks. But it's kind of new for us because we're doing it at a different time. We're doing it in a different way. And let me tell you, I've been so impressed by the team that's put this together. It's so creative and going to be so great. And we got plans to then 2 weeks after that, we're going to go on the road with that Vacation Bible Camp, go up the street to Central Park in Louisville and offer that experience of Vacation Bible Camp to the neighborhood there. Our youth, they got plans to go to Florida in July. They're going to go and do homeless ministry, and they're going to do rehab on homes, and they got plans. We've even got plans for another new thing we're doing all summer long. We're partnering with Salvation Army this summer to feed the kids. It's a new ministry opportunity for us that we feel like we can really get excited about, where we're putting together travel bags for the children who come with their parents to have lunch at the Salvation Army Monday through Friday throughout the summer. And every kid is going to be given one of these travel bags that will help. You know how kids are hungry all day during the summer. But these are kids, some of them who may be sort of on the road all the time with their parents. And so we have committed to provide 150 of those bags every week this summer. 1,500 bags throughout the summer. Very excited about. Don't know exactly what that's going to look like, but we're very excited. And here's the thing. We can know what our plans are. We can know where we think the road is going to take us, but sometimes the road takes us to places we don't expect to go and to people we don't expect to meet. It happens over and over again in the Acts of the Apostles. And it happens for us as well, especially when we make ourselves available to where the Spirit will lead us. Now, here's the thing. We can't know exactly how the summer of 2017 will turn out. We can't know everything that's going to happen. There will be triumphs and tragedies. There will be successes and failures. There will be great achievement and disappointment, not only for us, but for our families, for our communities, for our nation, for our world. But the good news is God is in the midst of all of it. And God is leading us into places where we too can witness by comforting, by encouraging, by working for peace, by working for the rights of others, by being available and willing to tell the story. So in these moments, the end of one thing, the birth of something new. Let's press the pause button. Let's wait and pray. And I want us to pray audaciously and boldly. I want us to pray audaciously that 100 children will come to Vacation Bible Camp in 2 weeks. I want to pray audaciously that we will be able to feed 1,500 children over the summer through the Feed the Kids program. I want to pray audaciously that our road trip with Vacation Bible School, Vacation Bible Camp, will touch at least one life. One life that will hear the good news of God's love for that one person in Jesus Christ. And they will say, I want to know and I want to live as a Jesus follower. So let us pray. now and make ourselves available. Would you join me in prayer? God, you are the God of creation, and you are the one who is always making things new and creating anew and inviting us to be a part of the birth of new things. And so we pray for the new things that we're being called to in the next several months. We know about the Feed the Kids program, and that's a new thing you're calling us to. And God, we pray that we may be people who pull together and put together 150 bags every week this summer for hungry children. And we hear you calling us to a new way of offering Vacation Bible Camp this summer. And we give thanks for this creative team that has put it together. And we pray, God, for 100 children to come those nights in 2 weeks, that we may witness to them of your great love for every single one of them. And we pray for the road trip that we will take with Vacation Bible Camp, and pray for that neighborhood, and pray for those who will be drawn in, and pray that we may witness in such a way that there will be one person, that's all we ask, God, one person who will come to know you and to love you and to follow you. And God, we pray that each one of us here today may make ourselves available to you, that with Mary and the disciples, we may pray the prayer of faith and openness. Let it be with me according to your word. We pray in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, Amen.